This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the little boogeyman. Right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show.
Welcome to another exciting edition of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we are going to finish Survivor Series back in 1990. We've already seen the premiere of The Undertaker on part one of the Survivor Series show, so you'll have to go back and listen to that if you haven't listened to it already. And
what we're going to go ahead. What are you
waiting
for?
Huh?
I said, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, come on. Get that listen. Anyhow, and now we're going to finish up the show. So far, the show has been great, and I'm just hoping for a even better finish. But so far, this show has just been phenomenal.
Yeah, and the Dead Man has really lived up to his Dead Man persona in that his first appearance. I mean, he just looked dead-eyed the entire time.
Yeah, everything worked with Undertaker's premiere, with the exception of Brother Love standing next to him. Outside of that, everything worked for this premiere. But as we know, history tells us that Brother Love won't be there very long. We will get Paul Heyman within, I believe, by WrestleMania.
Paul Heyman, eh?
Oh, sorry.
Paul
Bearer. Although, Paul Heyman would have been a good manager for The Undertaker.
I mean, the Paul Heyman's a great manager no matter who you put him with. I'll give you that. But Paul Bearer was perfect for The Undertaker.
I misspoke. They're both Paul names, and I just... My bad. Okay, so, but before we get into this, I have to talk about the pay-per-view that happened over the weekend. NXT TakeOver War Games. This show was, pardon my French, fucking amazing. Oh my gosh.
We are an explicit show. It's fine. Fuck away.
No, I don't like to make it too vulgar, but there's just no other words to describe how awesome this show was. There really wasn't a bad match on the card. I mean, the Leon Ruff, Damian Priest, and Johnny Gargano triple threat match was amazing. And it was comedic at the same time, without being cheesy, because Priest constantly kept telling Ruff, it's like, you know, get out of the way. You don't need to be involved, even though the guy's the champion. I mean, it was a great triple threat match. But let's talk about these War Game matches. The male War Game match was awesome, don't get me wrong. But the women at the beginning of the show tore the fucking roof off. This match was as good as any male match I've ever watched. This was phenomenal. Io Shirai is just freaking amazing. And I just want to give my hat off to those ladies because it was better than the male War Game match. And don't get me wrong, the male War Game match was also amazing. And I'd like to point out, Pat McAfee is the greatest celebrity wrestler that has ever came to wrestling. Now, that's if he's only a... If this is like a... Well, he's done two matches now. If this was like a two-time thing and he never wrestles again, he's the greatest celebrity wrestler. But if he makes this a full-time job, you kind of got to put him in a different category because he's no longer a celebrity wrestler anymore. He's becoming transitioning into a wrestler.
Yeah, it was right such a now, great show.
Yeah, right now he's a celebrity, and what the hell? The dude moonsaults on a table, freaking jumps off the top of the cage. This is Pat fucking McAfee.
Yeah.
He was a punter in the NFL. I thought these guys were athletes.
And he punted someone's head off in this show.
Well, that's his special move, is he kind of looks at his leg and goes, And he does a punt. It's actually
no, I meant like phenomenal. Murder. He literally murders and cuts, hits someone, punts someone's head off. Yeah.
Did you watch the show?
No, I didn't.
No heads came up. This is not Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Okay, he is not chopping heads off.
We are not affiliated with Assassin's Creed or Ubisoft.
Or the WWE or NXT or anything.
We're not affiliated with shit.
No, but if you want to be affiliated with us, give us a call. Hit us up on our email.
We will shill the crap out of you.
Yeah, we would love to shamelessly plug your product. So give us a call. We will shamelessly plug it all day long with a smile on our face. And if we like your product, we'll probably shamelessly plug it even at times that you don't pay us.
That's right.
If we don't like your product, we'll probably just find a 30-second time slot for it.
We'll try not to shit on it.
No, we'll try not to shit on it. But no, I just... Okay, if you haven't watched it, it's a 3-hour show. You need to watch it because, and this is for the audience too.
It's actually one that I wanted to watch.
I didn't know. I was talking to myself here. I thought you might have watched it.
No, I just felt like trying to join in, you know, just jumping in there like, yeah, sure.
The things that Pat McAfee did in this match, I've never seen a celebrity even come close to. I mean, you've had these celebrity matches, and usually when you have these celebrity matches, I think you kind of cringe. Because you're like, you know, it's not going to be that good of a match. It's more for story-based.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Pat McAfee has been one of the top things in NXT the last month. And then he pulls out this match. And they could have easily just had him kind of hide.
You know,
that's not what they had him do. The dude went through two tables, and he freaking jumped off the top of the cage.
Spoilers. No, I just messed up. I did actually get to see his first match. Like, when he first debuted and had his first match, I did get to watch that.
And it was a great match.
He was very impressive. He was very impressive in that first match that I saw him in.
Well, think of him in that match, but add 7 other people in the ring and weapons and in a cage.
Yeah, I think
and the dude is not scared to do anything. What was funny, though, is I did watch the Pat McAfee show on YouTube the next day after, and he's wearing a neck brace. At first, I was like, did he really get hurt, or is he kayfabe? Is this like, he just trying to sell it on his show? And he kind of did explain. He said, I'm wearing this for precaution. I have to take tests today, and if something might be broken or something, you know, I'm wearing this just in case. Yeah. So he didn't officially break anything, although I haven't heard anything since that episode I watched. I think he was mainly just selling, like, I was in this hardcore match last night. You know what I mean? Like, but he did, during the whole show, he was talking about, oh man, this chair's uncomfortable. I've never noticed how uncomfortable this chair is until today. Everything hurts. It hurt to get out of bed. You know, he's literally just talking about how sore he is. But hats off to Pat McAfee for having the testicular fortitude to get in there and do what these professional wrestlers do, and to be in there with 7 other professional wrestlers that they do this for a living and was one of the highlights of the match. Hats off to him, because the dude put his body on the line. He has a cushy job as a podcaster. He's a former NFL player.
You're bashing us podcasters. This is hard work.
No, we are not official. Okay, we are official podcasters. Let me try to explain this. We have daily jobs we have to go to.
Yeah, we don't get paid for this.
He makes money he makes plenty of money.
But if the WWE would like to pay us for this, we will gladly show the crap out of you.
Oh, yeah.
We would love it.
We would love to get paid for this, but we actually just do this. Honestly, this all started because Blaze here said, do you want to watch all the pay-per-views on WWE Network? And I'm like, okay, hey, I've got this podcasting equipment. You want to talk about it while we watch it?
Actually, this podcast idea I've had in my head for quite a while, and I knew my brother, who has been a fan of wrestling for pretty much most of our lives, I figured he would enjoy this with me, and I feel like we've enjoyed this very much.
Yeah, this has been a great experience, and I mean, sure, if it would take off and become something more than it is, that'd be great. That'd just be a bonus. But right now, I get to spend one day a week to watching pay-per-views, and I get to talk about it. And he loves
the sound of his own voice.
And Blaze knows that I like watching wrestling, and I like talking. And I think the sound of my voice sounds pretty good. So it just all fit in this mold. And so why not? Let's do it. But yeah, definitely, I know we live in a time machine in which we go back in time and watch wrestling. But if you have time to watch a little current wrestling, definitely check out NXT TakeOver War Games. One of the best pay-per-views I've watched of any SmackDown, Raw, WWE, any pay-per-view. The whole thing was great. I don't think there was a bad match on the card at all. I mean, you have the Tommaso and Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher match was a really good, solid wrestling match. You had the Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes match, which was a strap match, and that was a lot of comedy, but it was still a great match. But these two war game matches they had was just off the freaking hook. These matches were great.
Yeah, I might try to watch that this weekend.
But the women tore the house down. Oh, hats off to the women. Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, they're freaking awesome. I think Rhea Ripley's ready for the big times. I think she's ready to move up because she's just a superstar. I think she's the biggest thing going for NXT right now.
Shows up at possibly Wrestle or Royal Rumble.
Yeah, she's the first and only NXT wrestler that was on the NXT brand that has been on WrestleMania.
She faced
Charlotte Flair. She's the first and only. All the NXT wrestlers, they've never had a spot on WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley's that big of a star. They gave her a match against Charlotte Flair.
I think that was mostly Charlotte choosing that too.
Charlotte chose that. No, they fucking. Charlotte chose that because they wanted.
Charlotte wanted to be
the NXT champion again and everything. But my point is the WWE allowed an NXT title to be defended on WrestleMania.
And it wasn't
the NXT title. It was the NXT Women's Championship.
And I'm hearing rumors that Charlotte might be coming back soon.
Yeah, I heard Charlotte is soon, going to be here soon. I heard maybe even right after this pay-per-view or maybe during this pay-per-view.
They might be smart. Just bring her back for a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, the rumor I heard is she'll be back before the end of December. So that's why a lot of people think either at TLC or maybe the day after TLC type of scenario. Maybe she interferes in a match at TLC. Who knows? We'll see.
Charlotte, and it would be nice to see her come back.
But yeah, last time they had...
Oh, also, congratulations to Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, they had a baby. What was the name of the baby?
Don't remember.
I don't remember either. It was a baby. I saw it. It was a weird name, though. It was a very odd name that I just never heard of before. Maybe we'll have to get our fact checkers to fact that.
I can fact check it right now. I got a message.
But yeah, congratulations to them. They had a baby. Hopefully the name is a little bit better than Grogu. But then again, it's kind of growing on me.
I think it's Roe. It's R-O-U-X.
Is it Rogue or Roe?
It ends with an X, so I think it's Ro, where the X is silent.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand the name.
Rooks? R-O-U-X. I think that's Rue, or Ro. I don't know. Haven't heard him say it. I read it. But congratulations to Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, so... And Seth has still been on camera, so is he taking a break, or...
Well, he hasn't been on since the Survivor Series.
Oh, he hasn't?
No. His swan...
Last time I remember seeing him, he fought Murphy.
Yeah, that was before Survivor Series. At Survivor Series, he gave himself up.
That was his write-off off the show. For the greater good.
For the greater good, he gave himself up.
Oh, we haven't seen him since.
No, we haven't seen him since.
I guess I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, he gave himself up for the greater good.
Yeah, that was different.
That's how they wrote him off the show.
Okay, fair enough. So
he sacrificed himself
for the greater good.
So he could be home with his wife, who just had a baby.
Maybe when he comes back, he'll have a better gimmick. I'm not a big, huge fan of the whole gimmick he's got right now, to be honest.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I like him.
I love him.
I remember watching him in Ring of Honor. I really was rooting for him when he became a WWE superstar. I don't like the whole holier than thou type of.
Yeah, thing. We talked about that. To be honest with you, he's been my favorite from the Shield. Although I'm really loving Roman Reigns' new gig.
Roman Reigns is killing it.
Oh yeah, he's doing fantastic.
Oh my gosh, he's such a better bad guy than a good guy.
Yeah, they should have done this years ago.
Yeah, he's pretty good bad guy. I like it. Like that Kevin Owens is getting a spotlight. I like Kevin Owens. I like the whole, you know, I'm not scared of you type of, you know, shtick going on right now. I'm loving it.
Yeah, and everything.
I'm liking all the Kevin Owens stuff.
Going on with Jay has been fantastic.
Sorta. I found it weird that they put him at main event, and now he's a lackey.
They
put him in two pay-per-view main events against Roman Reigns. Just to turn him into a lackey now. So, it's like he's main event
SmackDown.
Yeah,
but it makes sense for the story.
Yeah.
It makes sense for the story.
I guess. They kind of teased the fact that maybe he was going to be a bigger player. And now, let's see how long is he going to be a lackey before he gets tired of being treated like this. You know, I don't know.
Well, Jey Uso is not the head of the table, my friend.
No, I understand that.
I'm loving all of it. I'm loving it all. Everything about Roman Reigns, his storyline with Jey Uso, loving all of it.
How about Sheamus getting some love over there on Raw? Looks like they're setting up a feud between him.
I actually have not got to watch Raw yet.
Oh.
I kind of went to the hospital on Monday and didn't get to watch it.
Oh, that's right. okay, my bad. Okay, well, I won't ruin nothing for you, but let's just say, which you've known, if you've watched Raw up until this past week, they've really been pushing this friendship between Sheamus.
So I'm guessing that friendship is turning sour, perhaps?
Not quite yet, but I just feel like they're keeping him close to the champion. I think that's where that's leading, is eventually those two are going to collide. Obviously, he has his opponent at TLC with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Really kind of curious when the Money in the Bank's going to get cashed in, because, I mean, it's kind of weird right now.
Miz is definitely keeps trying and failing.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because to take away that championship from him right now would be weird. So I'm just kind of curious how that's going to get played out.
I thought it was weird that Randy Orton won it and then lost it right away.
Why even have him win it?
I thought that was odd too.
But all right, well, I think it's about time we should probably start getting into some old school wrestling, because that is what you tune in to listen to.
Probably just fast forwarded all this.
Yeah, they're like new wrestling. We don't care about your opinion about new wrestling. I just thought there was a lot going on that, you know, felt like that really needed to be addressed. And once again, I can't say it more than, enough. Go watch NXT TakeOver War Games. Even if you don't watch NXT on a regular basis, I'm telling you, NXT, in my opinion, is just where it's at right now. Those guys on NXT are about as hungry as the guys that you would see in other companies. Except they're in the WWE brand and production, and they've got the quality show, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
They have the quality writers, quality people taking care of them. NXT is amazing, man. I'm telling you what, that show is phenomenal.
All right. Well, let's get on to the show that we're technically on here for.
Okay.
Survivor Series.
Okay, so to start off where we left off last time, the first thing we get is an interview with Hulk Hogan, Big Boss Man, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Tugboat. This is the first time I think we've seen Tugboat in any of our shows.
They are the team, the Hulkamaniacs.
Yes, the Hulkamaniacs, and they are about to go into battle with the likes of the Natural Disasters, which is... Actually, it's a new Natural Disasters now because different teammates. The Barbarian and Earthquake, Dino Bravo, and Haku. So wait a second, who's the Natural Disasters then? And they're with Bobby... Oh, I think their team name is the Natural Disasters. Yes. Oh, because wait a second, the Natural Disasters don't exist yet.
No.
No, I just can't.
Yeah, they called their team name the Natural Disasters.
I'm catching that while I'm sitting here reading the team name. My bad. Yeah, that just kind of confused me. Because the Natural Disasters ends up being Earthquake and Typhoon, which is Tugboat on the other side eventually.
Correct.
So that's kind of funny that their Survivor Series team name is called the Natural Disasters.
I'm sure they were like, man, that was a good name.
That's a pretty good name.
Let's stick with that.
So anyhow... Dino Bravo, Earthquake, Haku, and the Barbarian, which I believe the Barbarian had left the WWF, so I think he's back now, because I believe he was the teammate of Warlord.
He was.
It was kind of nice to see him back with a new gimmick.
Looking like a Barbarian.
Pretty much looking like a Barbarian, where before he just looked like a LOD ripoff. Although a good LOD ripoff.
Walmart brand.
They were good.
I get a lot of things from Walmart. I mean, it's whatever.
So anyhow, this match was alright. It was a good match. Not a great match, but it was a good match. Hacksaw Jim Duggan gets eliminated by using a 2x4.
What? Surprise.
Yeah. That's how he gets eliminated.
The cheater cheats again.
Then, the Natural Disaster team and one of the Hulkamaniac teammates, gets counted out. So Earthquake and Tugboat are fighting outside the ring and they get counted out. I thought that was kind of funny. Soon to be tag team partners they get counted out. And then it comes down to, I believe it was Hogan and was it the Barbarian was the last one?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. So, surprise, surprise, Hogan wins this match.
Haku gets taken out, right off the bat.
He must have, yeah.
He did.
So, but like I said, this match was just, it was there. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was just there. Kind of a low point in the show so far. Just wasn't that exciting.
I'd be willing to say that this is the worst match of the night so far.
Yeah, it might very well be.
A little preview could be the worst match of the night.
I actually would not argue with that because this match just wasn't all that thrilling.
No, it wasn't.
It might have had a lot to do with it. It was just nothing but big guys.
I like how they're just... I like how they're talking when they were had their interview and they're talking about how Tugboat's gonna sink ships and stuff. I don't think that's what a tugboat is. Tugboats aren't normally your battleships, are they?
No, I think it's like a fishing boat.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know enough about boats. We're probably going to get ripped on the internet for not knowing enough about
most
boats.
Most tugboats I'm aware of is from the old cartoons. That's my most... little tugboats, little cartoon tugboats. I don't know if I've ever seen a real life tugboat.
Yeah, I don't really know if I've really paid attention. Have we ever seen Tugboat on vacation? What do you think? She don't want to be involved.
No, so, she didn't. I've seen it in cartoons. I've seen it. Speaking of cartoons, I've seen it with South Park. Tugboat, the one up Russell Crowe fighting around the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's making films and fighting around the world. Hey, Tuggy! The Tugboat gets shot.
So, anyhow, enough about Tugboat. But yeah, like I said, this, I mean, just wasn't an exciting match. Like I said, there was no botches in this match. There wasn't nothing to really hardcore complain about. I thought it was kind of funny that one of the guys tried to go to the top rope and it didn't really work out. And Roddy Piper was like, "That's why you don't do that when you're a big guy." He's like, "They're not the size of the Rockers. You can't do that because you're big." And it's like, tell Keith Lee that. Tell Keith Lee that to his face, because the man defies physics. Yeah. But I guess in this day and age, yeah, that really didn't
big
happen.
Guys didn't really.
I'll tell you what, Bam Bam Bigelow, though,
yeah,
he kind of, you know, he was doing some stuff the big guys probably shouldn't be doing.
And can we talk about how great it is hearing him on the announcer
table? Oh, yeah, he's wonderful!
He's pretty fantastic on there.
Yeah, I like Roddy Piper talking, and so that's kind of one of the best things he does. So,
unfortunately, I don't want him not to be in the ring. So that's my only complaint about him being on the commentary, is I want him in that ring.
Yeah, it does suck to not get him wrestling, but it's kind of nice to hear his voice the whole show.
That's true.
So it's kind of like a give or take. Would you rather? Well, you know what would be really great is towards the end of the show, and he takes his headset off, and let's go, buddy! You know, and starts fighting somebody because, you know,
probably say something racist.
That would be like the best of both worlds if he would get involved in a fight during a show and then go right back to commentary.
Right,
like,
right.
I had to take care of that loudmouth.
Right.
You know. So, okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on and see what more this show has to bring. Okay, so before the next match, we get an interview with the Macho King Randy Savage. Oh, yeah! And he reminds the viewers,
nope,
too. Yep.
No. Nope.
He reminds
don't
them.
Don't do it.
Never do it.
Ah, son of a bitch. No, he doesn't.
He advertises Slim Jim.
He does
swear,
not do that at all.
Watch the tape. It's true. Do
no,
it.
No, 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 he doesn't.
I'll put it on my website.
That sounds like a fact he would say.
So anyhow, so we get a Macho King interview, and then we also get a Sergeant Slaughter interview, and this is the first time we've seen Sergeant Slaughter as an Iraqi sympathizer. He talks about Bush. Oh, we forgot to mention something. Let's back the trolley up. We forgot to mention that Hogan volunteered him and his whole Survivor Series team to the services of President Bush and the military if they need it. I wonder if Bush ever considered making that call.
Well, we know that he never did make that call because...
He never made the call?
Last time I checked, Hulk Hogan has never went to... fight in the Iraqi.
Oh, surprised. So I'm guessing Bush watched the show and he said, not gonna do it. And he just, he didn't make the phone call.
He didn't do it.
Not gonna call Hogan up. Not gonna do it. You're serving your country by entertaining all the Hulkamaniacs. Okay, so moving on. So Sergeant Slaughter does the opposite and pretty much warns Bush not to come to Iraq or, you know, we're going to, I guess, kill you? I don't know if he used those words, but basically he was kind of...
I think it was implied.
It was implied. So this match basically, USA versus Iraqi sympathizers in a sense.
Yeah, sympathizers.
And I don't think there was one Iraqi wrestler involved, but that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah.
So it was the team called the Alliance with the Bushwhackers, Butch and Luke, Nikolai Volkoff, which is, you know, I mean, he's Americanized now on the show, and then Tito Santana hailing from... probably Mexico or Texas, you know, whatever. Then you have the Mercenaries, which is Boris Zukov, Sergeant Slaughter, Sato and Tanaka, with Mr. Which is the Orient Express, with Mr. Fuji and General Adnan. So, this match was interesting. I actually enjoyed this match because they did something where they pandered to the whole USA, and the USA got three eliminations, like boom, boom, boom.
How the hell was Hacksaw Jim Duggan not part of this?
How is he not a part of the alliance?
Yeah, facing against the...
How is Hogan not a part of versus the Iraqi sympathers? I mean,
yeah.
The guy who waves
who
the...
Who literally instead suggested, offered his services to George Bush in America.
I mean, instead you got Tito Santana and Nikolai Volkoff on the American side. I can see the Bushwhackers. I can see the Bushwhackers.
Yeah, but those Australians.
Even them, they're from Australia.
Those Australians.
But they come out, you know, now that I said it, it's kind of odd that they teamed them up the way they did. So, not the best booking back in 90 on putting teams together. But I will say this was a great match. Not a great match, but it was a good match. So they did something where USA team, or we'll call it the Alliance as they were called officially, they got three quick eliminations, which left Sergeant Slaughter by himself. And he wiped through Nikolai Volkoff, both Bushwhackers, and they really showed Sergeant Slaughter as a dominant force. The way they even finished this match was they had the referee get knocked down and Sergeant Slaughter cheat. Huh?
Did he get up again?
I'm not going to play into your musical cue here. So if you're ever going to let me down, let me finish this. So anyhow, he had his manager come in, hit Tito Santana with a flag, and they thought, and then he puts the camel clutch on to Tito Santana, and Tito doesn't tap out or say I quit or nothing, but they ring the bell, and Sergeant Slaughter thinks he has just won the match. Turns out the referee must be able to see while he's knocked out or whatever, and he called for the disqualification. And Sergeant Slaughter ends up losing this match, but in a way that made him look and feel pretty dominant.
Yeah. Sergeant Slaughter was just pissing the night away.
There's whiskey drinking and vodka drinking. No. We are talking wrestling. So anyhow, I just thought it was interesting the way they did this match where they made sure USA won. Because you got to have USA win, but making Sergeant Slaughter look like a dominant force. And obviously we know because coming up, I believe, is the WrestleMania where Sergeant Slaughter faces Hulk Hogan. So you got to kind of build him up. But it was a good way of not allowing the Iraqi sympathizers to win, but...
Sympathizers?
Yeah, because they were all... None of them were Iraqis, so they have to be Iraqi sympathizers.
Yeah, you said sympathizers.
I thought I said sympathizers.
No, not really.
So anyhow, regardless, we can play the tape back. We'll see who's right here. So anyhow, regardless, I just thought it was an interesting way of making a superstar look dominant without allowing them to win the match. I thought that I don't know if we've seen a lot of that kind of stuff, creative stuff like that, on these older wrestling shows. We see it a lot in modern wrestling.
Yeah.
Where they make a guy still look...
Dominant,
but they disqualify him or whatever. Now, their cue in these a lot of times is, well, we don't want to see this guy get pinned or this guy get pinned, so we're going to have him fight outside and they're counted out.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they really
That's what they really like to do constantly when they don't want a guy to be put over or, you know. So they definitely have their little tricks, but I just thought this was more of a creative trick that they did to make a guy look strong before a big show like WrestleMania.
Right.
Without being like the WWF thinks Iraqi's going to beat the USA. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just kind of a, it was kind of a cool little, interesting way they did with that.
Yeah, it was.
Which is probably a lot of the reason why Hogan wasn't in this match, because they just would have wanted Hogan to win. So.
Yeah. I didn't think it was as bad as the last match. I didn't think it was terrible. It was fine. I didn't like it as much as it seems like you did, but...
I think I liked the creative way they put the match together. Was my main thing. I don't know if it was a great, great match. I just thought it was creative, the way they did everything. Which gives it bonus points on the Hogan match, because I thought that was just dull.
Yeah, I guess.
It wasn't bad, it was just
dull. I guess I can understand that.
So that's kind of where I'm at on this match. Okay, so let's see what more we got. Okay, so the next thing we get is an interview with the team of the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, Paul Roma, Hercules, the model Rick Martel, and the Warlord with Virgil and Slick. They have their things to say. So something interesting is going on in this Survivor Series that we didn't really realize when we started watching it. They're doing something where they have a Survivor Series finale. So all the wrestlers that survived their matches, they get to face off in this Survivor Series finale. And it doesn't matter what the number is. But apparently it does matter if you're heel or face.
Yeah, I found that kind of weird.
Yeah, because they've got 8 guys remaining, but they put 5 on the heel side, and they put 3 on the face side.
You know,
so they didn't even it up.
You know, it'd been kind of interesting.
If they'd have mixed it?
Yeah, if they would have thrown Million Dollar Man, because one wasn't a full team that won. So one Survivor Series team all won. So they could have been on one side, and then they could have had the Million Dollar Man switch to the good side, and then that would have been a really interesting one, throwing Million Dollar Man with Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, that would have been kind of an interesting concept. You could have played with that, like him trying to throw money at him and stuff like that. Yeah. So that definitely would have kind of changed the thing. Because, I mean, look at modern Survivor Series. The Raw and SmackDown teams were full of heels and faces. So it was just
That's because they have it SmackDown versus Raw instead of heels and face.
I know, I'm just pointing out that it could happen. It could
work. Yeah, but they didn't really do that much back then.
They didn't like putting faces and heels together and
I just can envision Million Dollar Man being the AJ Styles of the team. Like saying, I'm the leader, and, trying to get the team to go, and I'll, do his little spreading money. He'd be that AJ Styles role.
I agree. I think that would have been cool. I would have loved to see that. That's why I said that would have been an interesting way to do it, but they didn't.
Okay, so after this, we have the most famous introduction in Survivor Series, the year of 1990. I mean, it eclipsed any other superstar that premiered at Survivor Series, and that is
the Gobbledygooka.
So the Gobbledygooker finally hatches from his egg, and imagine being a fan in 1990, waiting to wonder what this egg thing is, and then this is what you get. You get the Gobbledygooker.
Well, he's a champion now.
Huh?
I said he's a champion now.
Oh, yes. He is a one-time 24/7 champion. So, we get the Gobbledygooker. We get some little bit of funny commentary from Mean Gene Okerlund talking about maybe whoever hatched that egg had to have hurt. Yeah. And then also suggesting to the audience, which I think was the main reason he got major booze, was suggesting to the audience that maybe there's a Playboy Playmate.
And it was very much not a Playboy Playmate.
Well, we don't know who's under that suit. It could be.
Actually, we do.
We do
Keep
know.
Keep talking. I can find this out.
Okay, so I guess the point is that he kind of hyped this up to be something big, and then the gobbledygooker comes out, and the fans immediately start booing. They start to kind of, you know, they're all right towards the end. Gobbledygooker's doing his little dancing and shtick that he does in the ring, doing his cartwheels and everything. But I think modern fans would have continued booing. I don't know if they ever would have turned and started cheering like this crowd did.
Actually, someone somewhat famous is under that costume.
So who is the... Is it... isn't it a baseball player or baseball figure?
Nope, it's an Mexican-American professional wrestler, Hector Manuel Guerrero Lanes.
Really?
He is Chavo Guerrero's Jr.'s uncle.
That's who's in the gobbledygooker suit?
Yep, his sibling is, of course, Eddie Guerrero.
Ooh.
That is who is in that gobbledygooker suit.
Interesting. Was he the same, is it same gobbledygooker that won the 24/7, or is that a different person portraying? Because, I don't know, is Hector Guerrero even alive still?
It says he's 66 years, it doesn't say he's dead.
Huh.
It looks like it was.
That's an interesting fact I did not know. I'll be darned.
I don't know if he was in the 23. He's probably, I mean, he's 66, so they might have had someone else underneath there. But that's who is the original.
I'll be darned.
Hector Guerrero.
Okay, so after the gobbledygooker shtick, we move on to an interview with Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and Tito Santana. They do themselves a little bit of an interview, and then it's on to the match. It is the Survivor Series finale match.
Yeah, and it was
all right.
It was all right.
It was better than the first Hogan match.
The first podcast we did had a lot better matches.
I agree. The beginning of the show was dynamite. But yeah, I agree that this match was just, it was kind of quick. Really, I don't even know if the match was over 10 minutes, to be honest with you. No,
I think
9 minutes and 7 seconds is the official time.
I was going to say, I think it was about 10 minutes, but okay, 9 minutes.
Yeah, 9 minutes, 7 seconds to eliminate 5 different guys. Right away, Tito Santana and Hogan kind of double-teamed on, was it the Warlord, I believe?
Warlord went out first.
And they eliminated him immediately, right after the match started. So the Warlord was eliminated, but then Tito Santana got eliminated soon after that. And then pretty much it was Hogan and Warrior eliminating everybody else from there. So this was definitely a, I don't want to call it a squash match, but it was just to hype up Hogan and Warrior. I mean, really, let's call it what it was. To make them look like the powerful forces in the WWF today. But anyhow, this match was just really fast. Guys were getting eliminated quickly. The only, not even interesting, but the model Rick Martel kind of refused to participate. And after he was getting beat up, he ran out and kind of waved his arms like, I'm not dealing with this. And he walked out on his team.
Well, Rage, he's a model. So, you know, he didn't want anything to happen to that beautiful face of his.
Yeah, don't want to get on the unemployment line, I suppose.
That's correct.
He just had to protect his investment, I guess. But then we get the whole celebratory Hogan and Warrior at the end of the match, and that's the end of Survivor Series 1990. So, really, I felt like the show really kind of started off like a rocket. And then just once it got into space,
then it
just
landed.
No, it didn't crash land. It just kind of started floating there because that's what you do in space. I don't ever felt like it really crashed and burned. It almost did with gobbledygooker. That was kind of a, but we knew that was coming. That was no surprise.
That was the best part of the show.
It was the greatest part of the show. It was like Undertaker who? Gobbledygooker premiered. I mean, Forget right? The Undertaker, right?
So I'm sure he's going to have a long, long career.
Oh, I'm sure. He's going to be the biggest superstar of all time. So, you know, and this is if we was in 1990 talking and, you know, actually didn't know the future of these individuals. So that is the end of the show there. And like I said, I thought this was a pretty solid show. It definitely, it was better early than it was late, but it wasn't horrible. I don't think it was ever horrible. I think there was one kind of bad clothesline in that main event, though. Hogan did a clothesline that I think it was Rick Martel kind of, it was like a delayed reaction. It was kind of an awkward, like, he had to spin around. He basically, he clotheslined him too early, I think. And so Rick Martel almost, like, backed up into the ropes and was like, oh, yeah, that was supposed to go out of the ring on this clothesline. Yeah. So it just kind of looked awkward. I just thought it kind of, maybe it was kind of a botch. But other than that, I didn't really see any bad botches or anything in the show other than that one clothesline. And I don't even know if it was a botch. It just looked really awkward. It just looked weird. So having said that, let's go ahead and see what our favorites and all that good stuff is. Okay, so we are going to start a new segment as much as we can. We are going to ask our friend Boomer to participate a little bit, and he's going to send us facts on the shows. So probably once every...
It'd be at the end of every
pay-per-view. So if it's a two-part episode, you only get it on the one episode.
Correct.
And so on and so forth. So we're going to go ahead and try to start this trend today on the Survivor Series episode. So we are going to have Boomer's facts.
Yep. Boomer, take it away.
Hello, Rage and Blaze fans. This is Boomer, and this is a new segment we're going to try on the Rage and Blaze show called Boomer's Backstage Facts, maybe. But here we go. Here are some facts about the 1990 Survivor Series. The first one, which you guys talked about a little bit, was the first match with, the Ultimate Warrior, LOD, and Kerry Von Erich, it's Demolition and Mr. Perfect. A couple things about this match. One that's interesting is at this time, the Texas Tornado was actually not the Intercontinental Champion anymore. This was back in the day when they recorded shows ahead of time. And the show where the title changed and went back to Mr. Perfect hadn't aired, so Texas Tornado actually comes out with the belt and is announced as the champ, but he is not the Intercontinental Champion at this point. And of course, if you're wondering where this match was first, unfortunately, the simple answer is Hogan. Hogan was in the main event. Another question you guys had was about Roddy Piper, where this time Piper was looking to come back, but not quite ready to wrestle. He was still doing his Hollywood thing, and Jesse Ventura had left the company. So in Vince's eyes, he thought that, Piper could be that guy, that heel commentator that he wanted. And Piper was still trying to act, so he wasn't quite ready to do a full-time role. This was also, by the way, Axe's last match. This is where Crush had already came in, like you know, and of course, Axe appeared a few more times, but only as a manager. This was his last actual wrestling match. He was 40 years old at this time, and Vince just thought that he didn't have what it took anymore, which is crazy to think, by the way, because Demolition is still together to this day, and they are still wrestling. And this is 1990, and Axe is already 40. Now let's go to some of these teams, because a lot of people left the company at this time. Believe it or not, the original fourth member of the Million Dollar Team was Bad News Brown. And he had left the company, and of course, thank goodness, because it led to The Undertaker, who was already in the works. This was just not the original debut plan for The Undertaker. But with Bad News Brown gone, they decided this was the spot to put it in. I'm always going to remember the Survivor Series just for that reason. Sorry, it's early in the morning. I've had a crazy week. I've been trying to do this forever, guys. Just bear with me here. Another interesting one here is that originally Ravishing Rick Rude was also supposed to be on this card. And he was another person at this time that left the company. And he, there you go. Here's another one for you. This was actually not technically the Undertaker's debut. It was just his televised debut. He was working in house shows. This was actually his fifth match in the WWE, because that's normal. At least back then, that was the normal, that you would put guys on house shows before they debuted, because they have to get used to the ring. You know, he came from WCW, and believe it or not, they have different rings. So yeah, that was actually the Undertaker's fifth match. And also, yeah, Rick Rude was supposed to be in the main event. He was supposed to be on Earthquake's team. He left the company. Rick Rude was replaced, of course, by Haku. One other one, too, as well, is originally Akeem was supposed to be on Sergeant Slaughter's team. And, of course, Akeem left the company and was replaced by Boris Zukov. Wow. And of course, this Survivor Series also brought us the Gobbledygooker, who, if a lot of you don't know, it was actually Hector Guerrero. That poor man had to stay in that egg the whole day. Two more little facts for you. It was actually also the highest and most bought Survivor Series from 1990 all the way up to 1998. Wonder if that was because of the Gobbledygooker. It was also the first and last time we saw the Ultimate Survival match. I personally dig that myself, but it did not stick around. So there you go, folks. There's a little backstage news for you about Survivor Series. Some interesting things there. The craziest one to me is the fact that back in the day, things like that would happen where technically Kerry Von Erich was not the Intercontinental Champion anymore, but he still had to be on TV. So there you have it, Survivor Series 1990. There are some backstage facts for you from Boomer. You guys have a wonderful week, and I will see you next time, and talk to you next time. Thanks, Rage and Blaze. This is Boomer.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so best match of the night. I think there was a pretty clear-cut winner. And not only was it the best match of the night, but it also was the most iconic moment of the night. And that is the Million Dollar Team defeating the Dream Team and the premiere of The Undertaker. So that is by far, I think, the best match of the night. I think that's the main reason people remember Survivor Series 1990. But really, 1990 Survivor Series was really a great show to begin with. Full of great matches. But definitely the premiere of The Undertaker kind of highlights the whole thing. And the fact that it was a really good match helps. I mean, it could have been a bad match with a great moment, but it was just an overall good match to begin with.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. I think there's... The first match was really, really good too. But just having The Undertaker in there, even with the issues I had with it, his manager being Brother Love and everything, I still think that probably was the best match. And it probably is more because of Undertaker than anything. And a fun ending too, even though I think that Undertaker should have just stayed in there and survived. And being in the finale too, but you know.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things that made me wonder, seeing that they had that finale at the end, seeing The Undertaker a second time would have been great, but I almost think he got counted out so you didn't see him a second time.
Maybe.
He was brand new, first time. Maybe they didn't want to overdo it with that premiere.
And also, you didn't want to face him against Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
Because the idea was to make him look powerful, and that's why he got counted out.
Yeah, and they probably wouldn't have let him win against those two. Not in his first. Yeah, so it's probably for the best. But I still, you know. But I didn't know that at the time we were watching that match.
Yeah, we didn't know at the beginning of the show that the survivors were going to wrestle again at the end of the night. That was that's kind of a new concept we've never seen.
It's kind of interesting. I don't hate it.
It kind of makes me wonder how many more Survivor Series that happens, because I don't remember when we were watching it on a regular basis in the late 90s.
I don't think I've ever seen it before.
I don't recall that ever happening, so kind of makes you wonder if this is a one and done, but I guess we'll have to wait. I mean, we could Google it, or maybe we can just wait till 1991 Survivor Series, and of course we will be covering that too. We can find out if this continues on, because I think that idea of the survivors get a finale,
it's kind of interesting.
That was kind of a neat idea.
I agree.
Okay.
Worst match of the night.
Okay, worst match of the night.
I have a feeling we're going to agree on this, too.
To be honest, this was kind of an easy one. It was definitely the Hulkamaniacs versus the Natural Disasters. And I guess it wasn't a bad match. It just was a dull match. I just didn't find anything to really enjoy too much in this match. There wasn't any huge moments, big spots or nothing. It just kind of was there. And it just really just did not do much for me.
Luckily, it wasn't terrible. It just wasn't.
Yeah, it was not. It wasn't a terrible match, but it was definitely the worst of the night, in my opinion. It just wasn't special.
Agreed. And that's my worst match of the night, too. There's not really a question about it. It's just, it was the worst one of the night.
Yeah, definitely. It just kind of just not a lot going for it. Usually, a lot of times, there's big moments that really excite you in a wrestling match. And even if the rest of the match was just ho-hum, there's usually big moments. I just never saw that big moment in this match that made you kind of remember it. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So it is what it is. That's the worst match of the night. We're kind of unanimous on this show, best match and worst match. So, I mean, not a lot of arguing here. You know, it would make our jobs easier, probably make the listeners easier if we disagree on this, but unfortunately,
you want me to pick another match just because?
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that we're going to do that. Pick something just to boost ratings or nothing. No, we're not going to do that. I'm just saying, it's just kind of, you know, be argumentative about something when we're not arguing.
Yeah, no, it's not this time.
Okay, so I say we go ahead and rank these.
Survivor Series rankings.
Okay, so I think this is kind of going to be obvious the way we've talked throughout this whole show. This Survivor Series 90 is, I think, heading heels over all the other ones so far. So I definitely think this is going to go straight to the top of my list. So I'm going to have, we'll call it Survivor Series 4, 1990 at the top of my list. Then I'm going to go Survivor Series 2, 3, and then 1. And that'll finish off my rankings for Survivor Series.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. So for my rankings are in order. at the bottom is Survivor Series 1, then 2, then 3, and then 4 at the top.
So that was pretty easy. I mean, I think it was clear as day that this definitely was head over heels better than any of the other shows. But it was definitely a really great, strong card from the beginning. Like I said, it just kind of mellowed out towards the end, but it definitely was the whole show was pretty good.
It was a pretty good show, and then you also had the iconic entrance of The Undertaker for the first time.
So. Yeah, and that one's going to be kind of hard to beat. So far, for Survivor Series, I believe every show so far has had nothing but Survivor Series matches. I believe that's going to change in the 91 edition.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think the whole show is going to be Survivor Series matches anymore. So we'll see if I'm right about that, but I'm pretty sure we get a pretty epic main event at the next Survivor Series, but I'm not going to spoil it for you. In case you don't remember.
I have no idea.
But yeah, we get a pretty good main event, and I know that main event's a one-on-one match, so I'm kind of curious if that's the only one-on-one match, or how this happens.
I thought I had much longer to start getting annoyed about the fact that we stopped getting every match being a Survivor Series match.
Yeah, well, that's not the case, and, the next show, I believe, is going to change that. Okay, so now I suppose it'd be time to plug the pluggables.
Yeah, you can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions on the Facebook, the Instagram, the YouTubes. And you can find me on Twitters at Dragon Blazer Pro.
Is there multiple Twitters and multiple YouTubes if you're holding multiple devices? Is that the thing?
Or... I think I've made this pretty clear that there's a multiverse out there. And in the different multiverses, there's different versions of Rage and Blaze Show. And there's multiple versions of us on Facebooks and the Twisters.
What is the Twisters?
That is a Twitter-like thing for tornadoes.
Okay, so you can find me on the Rage and Blaze Show Facebook page, at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter, just the one. And that would be all the places you could find me.
All right, well then, so long.
Farewell.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Goodbye. Okay, so this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.